Time once again for our look at medical health. It's time for Fitter Happier.
Fitter Happier. A program about your health for your health.
This week on Fitter Happier, we're looking at meningococcal. Over the past year, the disease has made a return in WA. It's uncommon, life-threatening, that is caused by a bacterial infection of the blood that lines the spinal cord and brain. Recorded cases in WA had decreased from 86 in the year 2000 to just 16 in 2013, but last year this increased to 23, and while 14 cases have already been reported so far in 2017. As a result, a free vaccine program has been launched targeting people aged 15 to 19 years to combat the disease. Joining us in the studio to tell us more is the Medical Coordinator of the Communicable Disease Control Directorate of the WA Department of Health, Professor Paul Effler. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on the MAG.
It's a pleasure.
Now, first off, can you tell us what meningococcal actually is?
Yeah, so meningococcal is a bacteria that typically lives in the back of our throats and doesn't cause much problem for most people. But then I liken it a little bit to lightning striking, where it can sometimes go invasive. And as you mentioned, it can get into the linings of the brain, and then we call that meningitis, or spread through the blood. And if that happens, it's very, very serious.
How common is it?
Well, it's relatively rare. I mean, a small number of cases. But why we've launched this vaccination program is we've seen an increase of a specific type of meningococcal germ. And we've seen that in Europe as well. And in the UK, it sort of took off. And so what we're trying to do here is preempt perhaps a larger outbreak that may ensue if we don't do anything.
Have any reasons been identified as to why the disease is increasing?
Well, I think the microbe is changing all the time.
Okay.
And so you have changes in the microbe, and then also it tends to impact people that in crowded situations, and that's why college kids or high school kids, they tend to congregate quite a bit, and so you can get spread through that age group that then spreads to other age groups from there.
So that's why this age group is being targeted by the vaccine process.
Exactly. Exactly. They are at risk of actually getting disease, but also they're the biggest source of carrying it in their throat and passing it on to young children or older folks that also become ill. So our attempt is to try and get to the source and stop it there.
Is it contagious?
It is contagious. It's not as contagious as measles or something. You have to have very close contact with a case. And even then, your chances are that you won't develop it. But certainly it can spread from, you know, if you're deep kissing or other close contact in a household, it can spread from one person to another. And so if you develop signs of the illness, you need to seek attention right away.
Okay. So what are some of the signs and what are some of the symptoms?
Yeah, and this is a challenge because initially it'll start out like any other illness. There'll be fever, you'll feel tired, maybe muscle aches and pains, and this is for both young adults and for children. Children, little babies, they might get listless, meaning they don't pay attention anymore, they don't make eye contact, they won't feed. If they develop a rash, that's quite serious now. And in older folks, if they develop a headache or neck pain or a rash, that's quite serious. So you want to seek attention early if you suspect you might have meningococcal. Now, I just want to say for all the mothers out there that every time your child gets ill, it'll look similar to what I just described.
Yes,
it doesn't mean it's going to be
course,
meningitis, yeah. But it's worth seeking attention early if you're at all concerned or if your child develops that sort of listless non-engagement.
Okay. How do doctors diagnose it then if it's so sort of similar to other diseases?
Well, there's definitive tests. Usually you can do a blood test or a throat swab or other things to actually identify the germ, and then we can know exactly what we're dealing with. The good news is it's very treatable. You know, it's susceptible to antibiotics, so if you get into treatment early, you can take care of it and have a good outcome.
Excellent. Is it a deadly disease?
Absolutely. It doesn't kill most people, but 5% of the cases we have may die,
yeah.
And another 10% may have some permanent disability. So in the modern era for an infectious disease, we consider this
very serious, and that's
why we want to go the extra mile to prevent cases, because it can be so serious.
Okay. You spoke of some cases having permanent disability. What sort of disabilities are we talking about?
Sometimes it'll inflame the nerves that run to the ears,
okay.
And so you end up being deaf. Sometimes you can get basically clots and blood loss in your peripheral, in your hands or your feet, and it might require amputation.
Wow.
So very distressing. It's much better to prevent it than to treat it.
Absolutely. You're tuned to Fitter Happier on the MAG and RTRFM 92.1, and this week we're discussing the dangers of meningococcal and how to combat it with the medical coordinator of the Communicable Disease Control Directorate at the WA Department of Health, Professor Paul Effner. Now, Paul, you spoke of the group you're targeting with this vaccine program, 15 to 19-year-olds. Are they the people that are most at risk, or are there other groups as well that you would see as high risk for this disease?
Real young babies and the very old are at risk, just based on their immune systems and their ages. But the as we mentioned, we're targeting this group, the 15 to 19-year-olds, because we want to stop them from getting it because they're also at risk, but also stop transmission to those other age groups. So it's a strategy to really limit the spread of this germ in our population.
Sure.
So how the program's working this year is we're going to go for grades 10, 11, and 12 in all the schools. All the schools are participating, and we'll be sending immunization teams out there. So if you're a teenager in one of those grades of school, or a parent of a teenager in one of those grades of school, look for that consent form and make sure you return it and hopefully have your child available on the day of immunizations. We're also offering the vaccine through university clinics and government-run clinics, and you can go to our website and look when those clinics are, as far as if you miss it at school and you want to show up, or if you're 18 to 19 and you're no longer in school and you want to seek the vaccine there. And then a little bit later in term four of school, we're going to provide the vaccine through GP practices. So you should contact your GP if you miss it in term three and you want to be vaccinated.
Okay. What would you say to people to allay fears that might be a bit fearful of this vaccine, but also vaccines in general?
Well, I'll speak specifically about this vaccine. It's not a live vaccine, so it can't make you sick.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the entire germ in it, just parts of it that your immune system will respond to. It is natural to get a sore arm after a vaccination. Yeah. So if some people get that, that's a sign that your immune system's working. That redness, that tenderness that occurs, so that's all good. Sometimes when your immune system turns on, it actually makes you feel like you're getting sick. We find this frequently. People say, the vaccine gave me the illness, particularly the flu. Yeah. That's just your immune system waking up and sending out those cytokines that make you feel a little feverish, maybe chills. It resolves on its own. It's usually very short-lived. And again, nothing to be concerned about.
So if people are outside of the age bracket you're targeting with high school students and also university students as well, how can they get the vaccine?
So they can go to their GP, can go to one of our free clinics, they can go to a university clinic because the universities are telling us that they will vaccinate people in the right age group that even aren't students at the university. And we think by having those different layers, those different options, we'll be able to get it to everyone at once.
Fantastic. So where do people find out more information about these options if they want to?
They should go to our website, WA Health.
Yep, sorry, I just turned your mic on.
That's www.healthywa.wa.gov.au.
Fantastic. Thank you. That's definitely something that we want to keep abreast of here and make sure that this disease doesn't spread any further than it has to with this vaccination program. Should have make a big dent in that. Paul, thank you so much for joining us on the MAG this morning.
We really appreciate you helping us get the word out.
No problem.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.